Welcome once again to the Toronto Indie Scene, your front row seat and backstage pass to Canada's music world. We have with us the editor, director, and producer of What is Indie? A great DVD. We'll be hearing from Dave Cool. But first, live at IndieCan, we have Toronto's The Outfit.
This song's called These Walls.
We've got The Outfit here. Glad you made it, guys.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Hey, that was a pretty kick-ass CD release party. That was a lot of fun over at Sneaky D's, eh?
Yeah, it was something.
Good crowd. Your brother's pretty crazy there, Velo.
Yes. Yeah, I declined to comment any further.
Yeah, well, he came up and sang a tune with you guys. And
yeah.
That was awesome. Was your official dancer?
He's our official...
He's our number one fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he seems like a keener.
Oh, yeah.
He got up there. I thought there was going to be trouble. I didn't realize he was part of the act.
Well, he did unplug my guitar a couple times, but, I mean, it's not a show without him unplugging a couple of guitars.
I think also he got up on stage because there wasn't enough room for him to bust out his dance moves on the floor.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, he should definitely be in the video.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Going to have that. So these are some pretty smoking tunes you got. Tell me about how you write them. How you know you've got a song?
Well, I don't know. Once we're all happy with it, it's a song. But basically, it just starts out as, you know, we come to the table with like one idea or something like that, and it just kind of snowballs from there. And you know, a lot of times we leave it alone for a couple of months and come back to it, and we hate it and change a couple things and add things and get some input. And I don't know. Things just happen.
I think he means that we argue about it for a few months, and eventually it either gets hammered into a song or it gets dropped altogether. We have a lot of stuff that we've dropped. But
yeah, so you got some things you just couldn't see eye to eye on. You couldn't say written by The Outfit, and so garbage can onto the
next
one.
Basically.
I hope you're happy with the CD. I think it sounds pretty good.
Very happy.
It looks great. Nice packaging.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, this song, too, you're going to be introducing our listeners to a new instrument. What's it called?
Oh, the melodica?
Well, I haven't actually seen one since kindergarten. But it sounds like something Dr. Seuss would use, you know. But how did that find its way into your music?
reggae, the core, I don't know, British music and reggae, I suppose they use it a lot lately. Or
they
altogether.
Bought one.
Yeah. That's the short answer, online. Orly bought one.
Yeah, basically, from like Clinic and reggae tunes, I was really into, the sound of a melodica. It's like a pure harmonica sound, basically. Mm-hmm. So
it's pretty cool. It just adds another dimension, that's for sure. And so this next song is called Borealis, as in Aurora Borealis.
Yes.
Somewhat. It has an interesting history, one.
Okay, well, IndieCan fans, put your listening caps on. Here we go.
And this song is called Borealis.
Live people all dead inside. No one doesn't like this anymore. No, no, not these days. Oh, so they say, oh, so they say. Live people all dead inside. Live people all dead inside. No one doesn't like this anymore. No, no, not these days. Oh, so they say, oh, so they say. Walking dead all around, but now can't tell the faces from their eyes. Oh, so I say, oh, so I say. Aurora Borealis falling, cuts me up like shards of glass. Walking dead all around, but now can't tell the faces from their eyes. Oh, so I say, oh, so I say.
So you guys are going to South by Southwest. Is this going to be your first time there?
Yes.
Looking forward to it?
Hell yeah. Never been to Texas. Apparently everything's bigger.
So they say.
Yeah.
But it's quite a scene, South by Southwest. There's a lot of venues, all very close by, and it's a real festival atmosphere, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, we know some people who have gone down. They went down last year, and it was just nothing.
Yeah, they say that
things.
There's just this one strip of nothing but live venues.
Yeah, and it's like one big mall, and you're walking by, and you just sound is pouring out.
It's makes you wonder what happens when South by Southwest isn't happening. do these venues still?
It's a dead town.
Yeah, it's
just totally dead town. You know that scene with the tumbleweeds?
Yeah. It is Texas.
Yeah, that's probably it. And then what? What's the hopes and dreams for the outfit?
Quit jobs.
Yeah.
Tour.
That's number one.
Yeah. Get rid of the day jobs.
Day jobs, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Develop bad habits.
Have you toured Canada?
We've gone east.
East as far as?
As far as Sherbrooke or Quebec City.
Yeah. We did like an Ontario-Quebec jaunt.
Yeah.
That's the word for it, jaunt.
Yeah.
Jaunt.
Well, it wasn't a tour, it was a jaunt.
It wasn't a tour. Yeah. It was a little jaunt.
It was 1 week. Yeah, it was a week-long tour.
And so where else did you go? You were in Sherbrooke?
We started in Ottawa.
Actually, yeah. It wasn't Sherbrooke. It was Lennoxville.
Lennoxville.
Yeah.
We got to perform Lewd Acts on Parliament Hill.
Again?
That was Ottawa, yeah. Montreal and Quebec City.
Yeah.
And
Lennoxville.
Yeah, was that it?
Yeah, it was Lennoxville. Totally.
Right. Yeah, that was it. Oh, and then when we got back to Toronto, we played a show right in Toronto.
We also played in Hamilton. As part of that.
Oh yeah, we played in Hamilton. Yeah,
yeah. A jaunt isn't a jaunt without Steel City.
Steel Town.
The hammer.
The jewel of southwestern Ontario.
Get a little crap in your lungs before you go out singing for a week.
Well, thanks for coming in, guys. I really like the music, and you could go far. I really, I mean, if you don't disappear into the southwest of North America. We'll look forward to having you back here and seeing what's next for the outfit.
That'd be awesome.
Thanks, yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You bet.
This is Velo from The Outfit, and you're listening to Toronto Indie Scene. Sticks and Stones.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Robbie Butcher from Tin Bangs. You're listening to the Toronto Indie Scene.
To the street.
the wrong places, and you've been talking to the wrong faces, and this time you're walking backwards. Where'd the summer go? Watched you slip into the swimming pool. Where'd the summer go? Hours spent on the telephone. Where'd the summer go? Watched it fade into oblivion. Where'd the summer go? Leaves have turned from green to gold. And I couldn't have put it better myself. I couldn't have put it better myself. I couldn't have put it better myself. Where'd the summer go? Where we're at, it's debatable. Where'd the summer go? Lost ourselves in the radio. Where'd the summer go? Things were good, they're even better now. Where'd the summer go? You'd never ask, but you have me now. And I couldn't put it better.
This is Dave Cool, director of What Is Indie, and you're listening to IndieCan Radio.
That's right, Dave Cool. We'll be hearing more from you later. I interviewed Dave Cool when I was in Montreal at DNA Productions, and we'll be talking a little bit about his views on the music scene and his movie, which is called What Is Indie? You can buy that movie right from the IndieCan MySpace. We've now got a couple of things available there, What Is Indie? And also the Indie Bible, which if you're a band or an artist and you plan to be more than a weekend hobbyist, this is a directory for you. It's got all kinds of listings of places that will play indie music, how to promote your music. There's 50 articles on things like how to copyright your music, all about trademarks. There's articles from entertainment industry lawyers, who, where, and how much. Let's see, I'm just looking through here. Royalties in the music business, understanding them. Artist management contracts and understanding them. How to legally sell downloads of cover songs. So, I mean, it's just full of great stuff, and it's a worthwhile investment. So if you are an artist or love an artist, you might want to get that. We just heard the Hartleys. I got that CD from Orphan Records, and we heard the song Something to Prove. Before that was Talladega. That's Mo Berg collection from last week's show, or connection rather, from last week's show. They sent me their CD. Mo introduced me to that one night at the Tap, and I love the whole CD. We heard from the album Up From Beneath, Where Did the Summer Go, and You and Me in the Sea. We started off with the Joel Lightman Band from Every Street Corner, and we heard the song Walking Backwards. Now, I mentioned we're going to hear from Dave Cool. I want to share with you an interview I had with Tim Baker. He has a band called Hey Rosetta. We featured a song of theirs previously, and we're going to get to another one of those songs. Here's a few things he had to say when we sat down at the Rivoli. How long's the CD been out for?
We released that in June, so what was that, 6 months or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a while now.
Yeah, now, I've listened to it the whole way through, and a lot of the songs are very intricate in their construction. What's your music background?
I studied piano for a long time, privately, just in lessons and stuff, and you know, I kind of flourished at that. I spent a lot of time at it. You know, I play a bunch of instruments, and it's kind of what I do, you know, so.
Yeah.
But I had a bit of classical training. I sang in a couple of choirs and stuff. And now I teach piano lessons.
Yeah.
I never went to music school or anything.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Listen to a lot of Cat Stevens, a lot of Paul Simon and the Beatles, and, you know, regular excellent songwriters, you know, that everyone listens to. And you know, I was in very loud rock bands in high school, you know. I was in a band that did strictly Rage Against the Machine covers for like 3 years. You know, so the usual sort of mainstream stuff, I guess.
What's next for you? Once you get off the road, Christmas time, then what do you
get
to do?
We got a couple shows. We're doing an all-ages show with Winter Sleep, actually, in St. John's. And we go home. That's going to be pretty cool. We're big fans of theirs. And then we're doing a New Year's show with our friend Mark Bragg, who's amazing. He's from St. John's. And then we're shooting a music video for Yes, Yes, Yes. Hopefully we're going to get some money. If we don't, we're going to shoot it anyway. Write a lot more, perform around the East Coast a bit, and we won't be probably on tour hopefully before Easter, but maybe not, you know. Got to get time off work. It's a balance, you know, but there's six of us too, so it's...
Well, exactly. That is expensive traveling.
We just got nominated for ECMA, actually, which is pretty cool. East Coast Music Awards. So.
Yeah, that's big. It's wonderful how the East Coast supports their artists.
Yeah.
I would say better than Toronto does.
Yeah.
Toronto is a big ticket item, and they have a so what attitude towards emerging talent.
Yeah. No, it's great. The East Coast, like Newfoundland is beautiful for us. We love it there. I mean, we have great fans, and the Music Newfoundland Labrador Association has helped us out so much. We got grants for them to do our demo and to do our album. We recently just got 4 awards from them, you know, and they've just helped us out so much.
say. Shit, what you trying to prove? You gonna give us away? When the king of sounds down the ground, and there's no place we try to buy the time for you to give it up. Maybe stumble and fall under the
Tim Baker from Hey Rosetta, and you're listening to Indie Can Radio.
Ghost dancer, show me the answer to all the questions in my mind. Ghost dancer, show me the answer. Everything up till now is just fine, so fine. Sometimes there's nothing you can do. Just let the chips play where they fall. Sometimes it's black, sometimes it's blue, sometimes it's got no color at all. Ghost dancer, show me the answer to all the questions in my mind. Ghost dancer, show me the answer. Everything up till now is just fine. So fine, so fine. Sometimes you look out of your window, look at all the rain and all the cars. Down the wall just to see them fall. You tear down the sky to see the stars. Ghost dancer, show me the answer to all the questions in my mind. Ghost dancer, show me the answer. Everything up till now is just fine. So fine, so fine.
in my mind. Ghost dancer, show me the answer. Everything up till now is just fine. Ghost dancer, show me the answer to all the questions in my mind. Ghost dancer, show me the answer. Everything up till now is just fine. So fine. So far, so far, so far, so far, so
my eyes and you.
That's Red Orchestra with the song Devil and the Deep Blue Sea. I don't know if that's their favorite song, but it's my favorite song title. Now, before that, We Ghosts, some friends of mine from Sweden. That was from an album called Paranormal Activity. And we heard the song Ghost Dancer. Now, if you're industry and looking for a project, I don't think they have distribution in Canada. www.weghosts.com. That's we, us, not we, itty bitty. So weghosts.com. Now, back to Montreal. I feel like I've been all over the place to create this show. I think I've been in four different studios, but we are going back to Montreal to DNA Studios to listen to Dave Cool. We have with us in the studio Dave Cool, who wears a lot of hats in the music business and has done a lot of things. You started out as a musician yourself. You ended up being faced with the question, well, what is indie music? And then you decided...
I'd try to answer that question, stupidly enough, yes.
And what all did that involve? Tell us about your idea for making a documentary, and then take us right through the making of what is indie.
Yeah, you know, I say stupidly enough because I think if I had known what it would have entailed, I may not have ventured on it, because it was a long journey, to over 2.5 years to try to answer that seemingly simple question. But yeah, like you said, it was just someone who asked me one day what it meant to be an independent musician, and I stumbled when I tried to respond, and I thought, well, that's a good question, actually, so I'll ask some friends, and I'll ask them on camera. And just see what happens. You know, it's going to be a short little 5-minute thing and just goofing around. And we, you know, while we were interviewing people, we realized we were getting some really cool responses, really interesting perspectives and different opinions on the same question. And more people heard about it, more people wanted to get involved, and the more it kind of grew. And I sat down with my camera guy, a friend of mine, Ian Graham. I said, look, do you want to make a movie? Let's make a full-fledged documentary film. I mean, I have no film background. I've never taken a film class, so why not? This would be perfect.
And only someone that ignorant could decide to undertake something like that. That's all the great things in life have been done by complete lack of perspective. And
that is correct. So,
and
yeah.
Good for you, man.
So, yeah, but, you know, I always joke that, you know, when you don't know what you're doing, you hire people that do know what they're doing, so they make you look good. And that's essentially what I did. I hired a couple of guys who work professionally in film, and I watched the documentary Supersize Me by Morgan Spurlock, like, you know, 100 times.
Decided
just,
that's
just
a style.
Just studying it and, yeah, just using that style. I completely ripped them off. But, so we just went from there and got interviews as we took them and lucked out a lot. I mean, we got Derek Sivers, the founder of CD Baby, which is an incredible service for independent artists and a guy who I admire a lot. And he happened to be in Montreal while we were filming and, you know, emailed him a couple days before he was going to be in town. He's like, yeah, man. Do an interview, and that happened a lot. So it was just things kind of fell in place, and I wish I could say I planned it all out, but that wasn't the case. It just sort of, it all kind of worked out nicely, and that's very humbling to experience that.
So you got all this footage, and then just sort of, it was what it ended up being. You didn't have a point to make. You just went out sincerely asking, "What is independent music?" And you look at things like, does it only mean do it yourself? Or what about independent labels that are owned by a major label? And you take a look at it from every conceivable angle. I think it's very well done.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, it does have a bit of a educational tone to it at times, because I'm really just trying to break down the argument down to the basics, and just to show people, take people through the argument that I was going through in my head, and just say, like, look, this is kind of complicated. If you break it down, it's, you know, where do you draw the line as an artist? And that definitely helped, because when you put that to people, it got them to think and go, oh, yeah, that's true. And then we tried to visualize it, obviously, in the film. And it's funny, because my editor, Tim Rideout, who's an artist in the film as well, we joked that we had, you know, dozens and dozens of hours of footage, and we spent most of our time trying to make this stupid graph in the studio of this, you know, this music industry spectrum, because we didn't know what we were doing and we didn't have a budget for an animator. So we tried to craft this
thing.
Make a visual of it. And that one thing took more time by far than anything else in the film. So I'm hoping next time around I'll just bite the bullet and hire someone who knows what they're doing.
And so where is it at in the cycle? You're selling it independently or distributing it independently.
Yeah.
How would someone who's got the bug, that looks like something I'd like to see.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask that question, you should see it because it really is educational and it's entertaining as well. It's really entertaining.
I appreciate that. Yeah. One thing we tried to do with the film was, you know, documentaries can be very dry and kind of boring. And I definitely took from the Super Size Me and Michael Moore style, where mm-hmm. you try to entertain people at the same time. And so we threw in a lot of jokes, a lot of bloopers per se,
yeah.
that we just put them in the main film because we thought it would just lighten things up. And yeah, if people, one thing I've been humbled by is the reaction to the film. It gets a very emotional reaction, especially from artists who see it. They feel empowered by it, inspired by what they're hearing, because there's some pretty revolutionary statements in the film by some people who, you know, are really at the front lines of the music industry.
It is empowering. It does have the message that this is the beginning of something. This is there's some momentum. You might be an indie artist all on your own, living in your own little world, but you know, there's a movement going on.
There's something. There's a groundswell of artists and musicians out there who are realizing that the power is gradually shifting to their hands through technology and through different services popping up in the industry. And consumer tastes are varied so much now that you can find your niche anywhere in the world, no matter what style of music you're playing. I encourage people to, you know, if they have a copy of the DVD, just to show it to friends, family. I know a lot of artists are showing it to their parents, like, this is what I do, this is what I'm all about, you know? And other artists are using it as a special event to attract media to their next show, because once you do a CD launch, it's tough sometimes to get media attention to what you're doing. So I'm basically saying, hey, you know, use it as a special indie event. Screen the film, have your band play, have another band play that you may wanted to have played with for a long time and didn't have like an excuse really to get them on board. And just go with it. You know, I don't want, you know, just take the DVD and just show it to as many people as you want and use it for your own benefit, you know, and hopefully, you know, create some sort of special event.
Now, what is there that every recording artist looks back at a recording and said, if I had it to do over, I would change this. What would you have done differently if you were to go back and create that now? What point would you make, or how would you alter or improve it?
You know, there's quite a bit, obviously, having no film background. There's a lot of technical things I would have gone back and changed, you know.
Interested in that.
Yeah, but from a content standpoint, because the music industry is changing so fast. I mean, when we finished the film, MySpace was just sort of appearing on the scene. YouTube didn't exist yet. So I look back and I go, man, you know, like two like huge services popped up that are helping independent artists that I kind of missed. And I get a lot of questions when people see the film, like, oh, didn't you think of MySpace? Well, of course, but you know, because we had already finished.
We were in post.
we couldn't explore that. And there was a lot of artists I would have liked to have had in the film, and it was difficult being a non-entity basically at the time to get some of these people, some of the bigger name indie artists in the film, because they'd seem interested and then go, well, who are you? And be like, I don't know, I'm just the guy making a do-it-yourself film. So now I'm hoping that, you know, for the next time around, I'll be able to use this as a calling card to try to attract some of the bigger names in the industry and go from there.
Now there's a bonus when you get the DVD. There is an audio disc as well.
Yeah, I decided it was two reasons for that. One is that I'm just a one-person operation, so I didn't feel I would have the time to promote two projects, like a CD release and a DVD release at the same time. And I'd put together this compilation, which is essentially the soundtrack for the film, and every artist, there's 20 of them, who's in the film, has a song on the CD. And I just decided to make the DVD package, a two-disc package, and include the CD as a bit of a bonus for people who buy the movie. You've got 21 great songs on there, 20 more than that, 22, and actually two of them just got nominated for Best Song Used in Film or Television at the Independent Music Awards in the United States, and so now I'm calling it the award-nominated compilation CD, which is kind of nice. And the interesting story is the three other songs in that category were songs used in productions by Fox, Warner Brothers, and ABC. And then there's me. who takes up half the category. So it's really, it's one of those weird things that's happened along the journey that just went, huh, really? Oh, cool.
Yeah, just the nomination's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Now, I heard you say, I don't want you to think I missed it, next time, so can you see doing this again? First you said, if I knew what was involved, I never would have done it. Now you're already talking about next time.
Yeah, I kid about that because, you know.
You're mental.
Yeah, there were times where I thought the project was going to kill me because it was so labor intensive. I mean, 16-hour days every day for 2.5 years without a break. I mean, it was just, because I was working a day job at the time and just doing what I could in every spare minute. And there were moments where I didn't think it was going to happen. You know, you get those lack confidence, you freak out, and like, I can't do this. I've never made a movie before. And you know, artists experience that while making a CD as well. They can't see the end of the tunnel, you know? So I joke about that it was a rough experience. But yeah, there's so much more I would like to do and explore in the music industry. So I think there'll be a next time. It won't be the next project I do because I don't want to spend another 2 years on one specific project. I'd like to do some smaller things, but yeah, there's another feature. I already have, you know, like artists. I mean, you go into a studio, you pretty much just finish cutting your new record and you're already writing songs for the next one, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Same thing. I already have an outline for the next feature film, but I'm trying not to focus on it too much and just work on some other things and then see how the industry shifts and wait for the right moment to sort of go back into it.
You could be considered an expert in independent music. I mean, there's plenty of people working in independent, but no one's taken as global a look at it as you have. And what would you say if you were speaking to indie artists in terms of where they should direct their attention and concentration?
That's a good question. You know, it's funny, the people I put in the movie, I consider as the real experts, and I've learned a lot from them, and I'm still learning myself, but if I were to give out advice, I think the one thing I would say is just to educate yourself. There's some incredible resources out there, incredible books, Indie Power, Indie Marketing Power by Peter Spellman, who's in the movie, and Dale Deanna Schwartz, who's also an incredible author, who wrote a book called Start and Run Your Own Record Label, which is an incredible book on how to just start your own label. And that's where I would start. I would start with just educating yourself and organize yourself to, you know, to go out there and make it happen, whether you have a record deal or not, because you can forge your own career. And yeah, I'm not advocating like never sign a record deal. I'm just, you know, if you don't have one, don't just spend all your time looking for one.
Yeah.
Go out there and do your thing and play shows and sell CDs, and you'd be surprised, because a lot of times that's when record labels will come knocking, because if you make enough noise, they're the ones coming to you, not the other way around. So
that's terrific. Well, thanks for taking the time. You know, I've been trying to get the two of us together for quite some time.
I was looking forward to this, Joe. Yes.
How the business works. I'm going to put you on the spot. Why don't we close our show with one of the tracks off of your compilation CD? Pick something that's sort of Montreal-esque, and tell us a little bit about that song.
Fair enough. I'm going to have to play favorites here, aren't I? Well, you know what? I'm going to pick the song City Song by Andrea Revel, who's sort of a transplanted Calgarian who's been living in Montreal for a few years, and she's been doing some incredible things, and her song was one of the ones that was nominated by the Independent Music Awards. So I think that's a great example of the quality of music that's on the compilation. So I'd love to have her song played.
Okay, terrific. Thanks for coming in again.
Thank you, Joe. It's great. Thanks.
In this big, big city, you know, it would take more than a wrecking crane. City, you know, it would take more than a wrecking crane to lift this heavy scaffold of flesh and bone, like a wreck of steel and stone.
sidewalk that lacks the ability to grow. And the time will show what doesn't bend breaks. What doesn't bend breaks. If we could, it was plain big city. The grass that cracks, the sidewalk that lacks the ability to grow.
For more information on the artists featured on today's show, visit IndieCan.com.